Ready, set, bake. Wait, or pod. I can never remember. I'm Haley Strong. I'm here with Emily Fox and Kirk Clark. We're here for, none of us are wearing veils, but I feel like we should be. We're sad. Mm-hmm. At the end of last week's podcast, Kurt, Vita, and I, Vita, thank you for joining us. We all held back who we wanted to win because we didn't want to jinx them, as we have been doing for weeks and weeks. Didn't work. We lost Hermine. Sorry, girl. We did this to you. It's no fault of your own. It's 100% our fault.
I'm going to blame your British friend. I'm going to blame Vita.
Or Vita.
The British invasion that has happened on this podcast. That is the reason.
That is true. I mean, thinking back, it's like the moment we started inviting the Brits on is when the is like when our favorites started going home.
That's not true. Sir went home weeks ago.
That's true. That's true. And I think the moment we started having them, like, yeah, Lottie was before the Brits. But yeah.
Guys, can I read you like exactly like I said that I was going to read this part, this piece of the recap from Grub Street, which has been doing a great weekly recap. But I think it just sets the tone for like how we're feeling and where to go from here. So let's see here. It is not that Hermine was obviously the best of the remaining bakers at baking, although perhaps she was. It is that Hermine, pathologically endearing and refreshingly unmedia trained, was good at being on TV. She was fun. It was fun to root for Hermine from the get-go, and especially once they got rid of all the other options. She approached every new challenge with a spirit of lighthearted dread.
That's how I approach everything in life.
I know, right? She kept you guessing. And that was the best thing about Hermine. She would tell you with jovial anxiety that whatever she was doing was about to be a total disaster. And sometimes it really was. And other times she'd go on to make an exquisite jelly cake. And once she made the fondant covered bust of Lupita Nyong'o, you had no way of knowing what she'd make based on how she talked about it. And that is compelling television.
Yep.
I don't know, guys. I'm just really sad.
I'm hurt. Yeah, I feel hurt. Don't get me wrong. If you're tweeting rude things at Laura because she stayed and Hermine went, reevaluate your life choices.
Oh, yeah, you're a horrible person.
I love Laura. I love Laura. Yeah, like, I don't want this to seem like I'm upset Laura stayed. No, I'm upset Peter killed this week.
He's gonna win.
Yeah.
I'm not upset with him. I'm upset with what he's doing, which is baking very well.
Yeah.
Poor Peter. Like, what has Peter ever done to us?
I know. And like, listen, it's like, even the description of the remaining contestants on this article is so good. It's like, the stakes are very high. Peter, by contrast, is a badminton enthusiast from Edinburgh. Laura is a woman with a pizza oven. Dave enjoys walking his dog. Like, yeah, these are good people. It's not like anyone's inherently bad. It's just that they were people that we really connected with that we've just seen getting, you know, get squashed in different ways. So I don't know. I'm as this article goes to say, sorry, this is the last time I'll say it. Perhaps this is the finale we deserve. Overproofed and underspiced.
Ooh.
So, I don't know, guys.
You know what? If Peter hadn't made those ageist comments a few weeks back, maybe we'd be rooting for Peter at this point. Yeah. Maybe it's the fact that I can't, relate to anybody who wasn't born in the 1900s. I don't know.
But isn't that reverse ageism, Kurt? You don't want to. Don't stoop to his level.
Oh no, I will. I have no problem doing that.
I think what it is that we're just deeply jealous of Peter.
Oh yeah.
He's talented in ways I will never be at such a young age. Did it seem like Noel again this week was pushing for Laura to get sent home?
Yeah, kind of, right?
I couldn't tell if it was that or if he was just presenting the counterpoint. Because what was it? He's like, well, but, you know, Laura just made one kind of kick. But I didn't think it was too bad.
But I felt like he also was like, oh, she's been, like, Hermine with Starbaker 2 weeks in a row. Laura's been on the chopping block for 5 weeks straight.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's true.
Does Noel hate Laura?
Maybe. Matt seems to be a champion for her, though.
Yes, very much so.
This episode, I've noticed, I mean, I haven't gone back to, like, analyze this, but this week it would definitely seem that Noel was more around Hermine and Matt was more around Laura in terms of, you know, who was whose hype crew, you know? So, yeah. Patisserie.
I know.
So let's get into some of the challenges from Patisserie Week.
Yeah.
For the second, did you feel like what Emily, as probably the most experienced baker out of the three of us, what did you want from Patisserie Week?
How dare you, Haley?
It's all coming out now. It's all
Kurt. You
out.
Don't even know the difference between a rough puff and a real puff pastry.
Wow.
Mic drop.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Okay, I'll concede.
What did I expect from this? I don't know. Everyone did all right. I wasn't looking at any, like, I didn't see any particular contestant fail at this, even though obviously Hermine ended up being at the bottom and it was, you know, for technicality, in terms of her underproofing the dough, right? But I mean, Dave fulfilled his expectations by just like throwing the Mexican theme back in. He must have had a hell of a time. That's all I have to say at this point. Like, wow. That's
probably where the baby came from.
Probably.
That's one of six bottles of tequila that he brought back.
I don't know. I don't tend to eat cake generally unless I make it myself. And I've never really steeped it in alcohol to the extent that everybody had to for this particular challenge. But I would try
something
it.
To consider.
Yeah, why not?
Peter.
Yeah.
So they had to make 12 identical. What is it? A Savarin?
Savarin.
Savarin.
Je m'excuse. Savarin. Voulez-vous un Savarin?
Savarin.
Ah, mais oui.
I do like Laura's, like, Savarin.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think it looked good. I would probably eat one if I could. That's how I feel about it. Yeah.
I would say that I'm most drawn to Hermine's. Let's see if I can do this. Crème et apricot, baba ou rhum.
Wow. French Canadienne.
Je suis parle un petit français. Mm-hmm. That was a sentence that made no sense whatsoever. You're welcome, everyone.
Thank you very much.
I did like how Paul explained it. It's basically this, the base of a rum baba. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Oh, of course.
Definitely part of our vernacular.
Although I'm wondering if there have been a couple cruises I've gone on where, like, in the gift shop, they like really push these rum cakes there, and I was wondering if that's kind of like the same basic thing. I don't know if I've had a rum baba before.
Is a fruit cake a baba? Because isn't that supposed to be soaked in alcohol?
Perhaps.
I've never heard of, but Savarin seemed to be light and airy, and I've never heard a fruit cake described as light.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
true.
It's different. I think. I don't think soaking it is the key component of making it a Savarin. Mm-hmm. Savarin.
I would like to be soaked in rum.
I am right now.
At 11:13 in the morning.
Now that I'm Eastern time zone.
Yeah. It's any time past 11 is mimosa hour.
That's true.
Mimosas.
That would have been maybe a good baba.
Yeah.
An orange cake. And
soak
like,
it in champagne?
Yeah.
I like that. That works for me.
Sign me up. Which one would you want to eat?
Was Dave's one with chocolate? Is that, I think that,
No, if you can believe it, Dave used mango and passion fruit.
But he had that chocolate, the cocoa cream thing at the top that had the mango flour stuffed in it as well. I think I would have gone for that. Although Laura's, the kiwi passion fruit I could have got. I'm just like in a chocolatey mood, and I think I might have gone for that one.
I will tell you what I wouldn't eat. Yeah. Yeah. I think Peter's is the worst.
I just, I don't, I'm just not particularly drawn to really floral notes in my food. Like, yeah. It's just not what I'm going for. Like, whenever they put rose water in, I'm usually a little like, I'm probably not going to enjoy that too much. Yeah. I also don't know if Peter has ever tried alcohol before.
I mean, he's in the UK. It's not like he's like, I don't know. The culture is different.
I guess so.
He said he doesn't drink terribly often, and he's the one that goes to the club sober and leaves after an hour.
I mean, I used to do that too, so I understand.
If you were 12.
I wasn't 12. I was just the most, I just, whatever. I wasn't cool, okay? I've never been cool.
I beg to disagree on that one. anyway, no, I think, so this is underreported, but strawberries are not particularly my favorite fruit. I know a lot of people lose their shit over strawberries. Pardon my French. I think they're good, but I think other things are better.
What's your favorite fruit?
I love like a berry, like Kurt loves a berry.
Right.
Not like a darker berry, not a strawberry.
Well, no, not a strawberry. I love raspberries. I love blackberries. I love blueberries. And I also love the tropical fruits. So like the pineapple and passion fruit and mango, like, yeah, all in on those flavors. Strawberry always for me feels a little pedestrian.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I would like you two to guess what my favorite fruit is, because I feel like it's obvious.
Hmm.
Banana?
No. She's like, oh, I like there is fruit. One fruit I feel like I champion on this podcast all the time, but maybe it's maybe I'm underrating my overrating it.
I don't know.
Pineapple.
Oh, pineapple. Yeah.
I want pineapple on everything.
Me too.
Savory, sweet.
Yeah.
I don't think I like it. Even though I enjoyed the pineapple upside down cake I tried earlier in the season. I actually think I like pineapple more on pizza than I do in desserts.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
I want it on everything. Like truly any food, I am happy to have a pineapple.
I just put some in my smoothie this morning.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think Peter's looked very impressive, but between the elderflower and I think I've previously stated my I'm not a big lemons dessert person, I just wouldn't have gone for that. Yeah, I think I would have gone for Dave's just because that was the one that had like a cocoa element to it. And you know, Prue said that she was worried that all these different flavors between the tequila and the passion fruit and the mango and the cocoa, that it wouldn't work. And
but they're all flavors that make sense together.
Yeah. Apparently it did work. So
I was really impressed with the style of Peter's Bakes this episode, because we cannot eat them, we cannot smell them, we can only really look at them, and I thought his were really beautiful.
Yes.
Agreed. Yeah. No, I'm not here to like hate on the fact that he's like technically flawless on all of this stuff, but I am here to hate on his flavors.
You know what I'm here to hate on?
What?
Ooh.
The technical challenge. Oh my God. What? Like, again, it was just like overcomplicating things for the sake of overcomplicating things. I have never related to anyone as much as I related to Laura in this challenge. I feel because I am a visual person. I like to see a picture of what it is that I'm making or whatever I'm doing. So I know what to go off of. I feel like reading those instructions, you're like I know what a cornucopia is, but right. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
What are we making? Like, I would probably end up like Dave making like a dick out of it by accident.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I was saying to Josh when we were watching the episode that I totally relate to Laura as well. Because I've been looking up sort of like interesting recipes for Thanksgiving, since it's just the two of us, we're going to be like really coloring outside the lines in terms of what you would normally expect for a Thanksgiving meal. And I'm so excited about it. But I was reading a New York Times recipe and it was the same deal where it was like, and this is how you would fold it this way and that way and da da da. And all the comments on this recipe were like, delicious, but here's the YouTube on how to do it, because no one could, you know, there's no chance anyone could discernibly like understand how to fold this without watching someone do it, right?
For sure.
So I totally get it. And I probably would have melted down too.
For this one, I almost wish we hadn't seen what the end result was supposed to look like, because the entire time I'm like, oh, okay, no, that makes sense. I see what they're doing wrong. And it was harder for me to put myself in the position of saying, of feeling that same level of confusion. Cause like when they're talking about rolling it into these cigar shapes and pitching the ends together, it's like, I knew what a cornucopia, I kind of could envision how it should end up looking, and that it, and even to some extent, at the very least, that it shouldn't be mounted like Dave's was.
The Brits have like a good understanding of what a cornucopia is. No, I feel like Thanksgiving culture like has really taught us what a cornucopia is.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. No, I'm definitely, I think there's a cultural advantage I have on that one, but still, I think I kind of looking back would have preferred to not know what the end result was. And then it gets me thinking, like, should all technicals be like that? It's like, let's have a reveal of the end result. Or like maybe right before the judging, it's like they you hear Prue and Paul talking about and describing it. Then you go through the whole bake, and right before it gets presented, you cut to Paul and Prue with the actual, what it should look like immediately prior to seeing what the contestants have done.
So that's an interesting idea. I like that.
And it's purely just because for this one, I would have liked to have known, hey, would I have potentially, figured this out, or like, oh yeah, no, I think that this is where they're getting it right, this is where they're getting it wrong, or would I have been just as lost? So
I do think it was interesting though that they at least had sheets of paper with sort of guides built into it, because it was that complicated. This is. All of this stuff, you know, they pull it out of the most obscure sort of ether in terms of baking, I think, for a lot of these challenges. And this one was just tough.
I saw some comments on Twitter, like even questioning whether or not this was patisserie.
That's fair.
I think I would have, it seems like in the, I would have liked for it to have stuck in more traditional French milieu, if you will. And
Kurt is so proud of himself. I just, for the $45,000 patrons, like as soon as he said that, he just like broke out in the biggest smile. He is so proud.
You like leaned back a little bit with satisfaction on that, and I loved it.
My 4 years of high school French paid off right there.
Yes.
But some, or at least, because the way that they at least defined it, it's like precise. I almost thought it was like very like things that were very fine and precise and twee almost in terms of like getting in there with tweezers and by the way, does twee and tweezers, are those like interrelated as words? It's like tweezers are something you use to manipulate twee little things. Anyway, because twee is such a common vocabulary word. I think I would have liked to have seen something a little, it seems like there were so many traditional French options they could have gone for there, but maybe they wanted to bring up something at this stage in the game where, you know, few people had likely heard of it. Because I think if you'd done something more traditional, that might have given Hermine too much of an edge.
You know what I think would be really fun is to know what the like hive mind of the producers and like Paul and Prue do in terms of research and gleaning all of these different options and how they organize it. I think that would be so interesting. I'm sure there are like spreadsheets of suggestions as to what they could bake.
Yeah. Or what was plan B?
Because there has to be, you know, a ton of different things that people throw into this suggestion box out of those who are very familiar with baking and just the general weeks and how this works out. I would love to know what the behind the scenes on that is. I think that would be so interesting, but I'm also a food nerd, so there you are. But
and you, what's that discussion look like where you've got these five options sitting on like bringing up PowerPoint slides? Okay, option one, the cornucopia. Let's talk pros and cons.
Right. Oh, this looks like it'll be the hottest day of the year. Why don't we have an ice cream cake?
Okay, yeah, let's talk about this again.
Yeah.
Okay, you're telling me they have it in the budget to build 12 mini test kitchens, but they do not have it in the budget for a generator and an AC unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been 10 years of this show, as Matt Belisai on Twitter wrote from BuzzFeed, and Great British Bake Off has just said, no, we're not going to figure that out.
It can't be healthy for these contestants either.
Let's chalk this up to lesson learned.
Is it though? Did anyone learn anything here? I think you need someone to pass out for them to maybe like build that into the company policy.
Well, maybe the lesson learned is not to do an ice cream cake.
Yeah, but I think, you know, just generally, if you're working with something that requires baking, which inherently is what this show is about, perhaps you temperature control the tent a little bit so that you don't have people that are risking, you know, their health for this, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. If it were me, I probably would have passed out. I'm not great in the heat. Don't do well with it. Would probably
do well in anything.
Yeah, I would probably get a sunburn through the tent, knowing me also. Like, that would be a thing that would happen to me. Or, like, I'd be too close to the sidewall where the plastic is, so it would just, like, really zoom in, and I'd get a burn on my arm.
I'd probably start stripping, and then they'd have to, like, censor me. I'd just be doing the show in, like, a sports bra and safety shorts.
So good.
It cuts that image of, you know, Laura basically resting herself and her head in the freezer, just trying to cool down.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. There's like a still frame shot of her like holding a fan to her face like this close. Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's great for anybody. Like, we can't figure this out. Maybe like there have to be like a bajillion generators there. Bring one more in.
Yeah. Like, they're getting electricity to those ovens and cameras and lights somehow. Mm-hmm. What? They're worried that one little AC is going to ruin the whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm not. I mean, I don't know electricity well or anything.
I can't even imagine the heat from just the production lights.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. So I don't know.
Do they need to film in the summer?
I think they don't usually.
Yeah.
Okay. They usually film in the spring.
That explains the baby lambs.
I'm waiting for the challenge where they have to make a savory pie using the cute animals that we see.
That is so messed up. And now that you put that into the universe, it's probably going to happen next season. We'd like one of you to kill this lamb and break it down.
They whip off the gingham blanket, and there's just like bows and arrows and slings. And it's like, first you must hunt for your protein.
Dark. I love it. Yeah, I don't know. Weird cornucopia Danish thing. Didn't look particularly tasty to me either.
No, it looked like
dry.
It looks dry. It, like the like right of like the bread plaque is right above this in terms of like things I would want to try.
Right. Like, yeah.
It did not look appealing at all, and it seemed like, you know, was it this challenge where Peter said, you know, he'd rather have it be overproofed and dry than underproofed?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
It seemed like everybody except Armin did overproof it. And like nobody, like you saw them like having to like hammer down with a knife to get through Dave's. And it almost seemed like biscotti-like, in terms of that thick of a biscotti, just it was not appealing. And I was wondering when they were showing it off at the beginning, when Paul and Prue were talking about, like, how do they get the rings stuck together? And I'm glad they kind of thought, oh, that's caramel. Okay, that makes sense. But
right, yeah.
I'm glad that, because when I picture a cornucopia, there's stuff spilling out of it as well. And I thought that was going to, I thought that was going to be a part of the challenge. Is also like, you also have to make an assortment of mini decorative fruits.
And that would have been cool to see, honestly. Yeah.
Then you can like just have it lay on its side and have stuff come out of it as well. But
yeah,
that might have been like too detailed. That would almost be more of a showstopper. Like
And it's probably also not necessarily a traditional part of this particular Danish.
That's true. Yeah, thing. I forgot this was a Danish cornucopia, not the American Thanksgiving cornucopia.
But how apropos for it to happen on the eve of Thanksgiving week, basically.
Speak for yourselves.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, we are.
All my Canadian friends. So sorry, we already passed that date. I don't know. Look at me centering American culture as I always do. Anyway, should we move on to the showstopper?
This was depressing to me for many reasons.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell me those reasons?
No, I don't. I think we know. I think the perfect encapsulation of almost this season was Laura trying to mirror glaze her squares and knowing that it wasn't going to work, and it just going everywhere, like there was chocolate everywhere. Yeah. Just everywhere. And you go, like, I can't explain to you how many times I said, oh no, during this challenge.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
I admittedly kind of blacked out at this point because I could just tell Ermine was gone. I was like, it's not going well. I don't feel good about this.
Which part was it for you? It was for me when she said, I'm not really following a recipe when it comes to the gelatin. I'm just going for it.
Yep.
I've never worked with gelatin, but as far as I know from my many years of watching food on TV, you don't want too much gelatin, and it's pretty easy to have too much gelatin.
Totally.
And it felt like there was going to be too much gelatin.
Yeah, I will say that working with the sheets is actually much easier and usually sort of the preferred way of doing it versus like powdered gelatin. The sheets are harder to find in the States. I don't know why, or I'm just looking in the wrong places, I guess. But either way, I was like, ooh, do we want to riff on this right now in this moment when things have gone the way that they have thus far?
Yeah, for me, it was a combination of the not following a recipe and I just came up with a new idea yesterday, which obviously means she didn't have as much time to practice it, but it sounded like what she had been practicing or what she had been planning hadn't been working. And I think with her meme, we've seen the successes come from those things that she knows.
Right.
That she knows, whether it's the flavors or the techniques. She's like, I just like these flavors, so I'm going to try this. And we've not really seen her have to wing it. I mean, the technicals don't really count because at that point, everybody's winging it. But when she's winging it and everybody else is like following something that they've tried many times, it didn't give me a good feeling about where this was going to end up.
Yeah, I think tried and true Ermine usually excelled when it was something that Prue kept saying throughout the entire season, right? Like, she's very good at these classical things. She's very technically excellent at executing all of this, but it's usually something that's very simple and done well. And to watch her kind of fiddle around and be like, let's see what happens here. It's like, no. This is not the time to improv. This is the time to like get your head in the game and save yourself. But I wonder if she felt that this was it anyway. And it was just sort of like, well, we're going to just go with it. And like, maybe I'll go out with a big hurrah, or maybe it'll be something that's really awesome that I've never done before. I don't know.
Yeah, it felt like she knew she was crashing and burning. And so she was just pouring a little more kerosene on it.
You know, we shouldn't be focusing our ire on Peter's successes. It's the universe. The universe let us down. You know, she put it out in the universe. The universe was busy doing something else, unfortunately, and it did not go the way we wanted it to.
Something else that probably didn't go the way the producers wanted it to was the bakers just straight up cutting the 9-pound silicone molds.
Yeah. I was like,
I mean, I get it. Yeah. I think Peter was very smart in just avoiding them altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, and I don't know if he's getting any ire or hate for that move online. He shouldn't be. I thought that was extremely smart and clever and a way to think outside the box or the cube, as it were. There's the proud face again.
I know. I was like, I'm not going to bring it up this time.
Oh my God.
It's 9 pounds. It's like, you know what? And like, unless they were planning on using those for the final thing, I don't think they really cared. Because at most,
they should have put their silicone mold budget towards the air conditioning budget.
Yeah.
I don't think the freezers are really working that well either in terms of getting things to set.
Well, I always watch everybody when they use the freezers, and they're always so cavalier about like opening it slowly and like putting stuff in and then closing it slowly. If it were me, I'd be like, get in, close. Like, I feel like there's too much air that gets like trapped or like escapes. It's just, I don't know. There's no sense of urgency with the freezers, and I don't like that. And that is not something I have articulated until just now.
They need to film the next one. They either need to have just a big walk-in freezer where people can, A, it's one that's stronger, and that people can just hang out in if they need to cool down.
Yeah.
Or maybe just film the entire thing in like a huge walk-in freezer. Of course, keeping something that large, I understand that cold would be, you know, nearly impossible, but like, I nailed it. They freaking have like industrial, like, you know, blast chillers. Let's get some blast chillers over to the
you
UK.
Lose the charm of like a Smeg kitchen fridge or whatever they're using. What are they using? What is
I
like that? Right?
I don't think it's an actual Smeg brand, but it's beautiful. I want it.
So cute. That's, you know, and it's outside in a garden. A beautiful form over function setting.
That's fun to have one that works.
Yeah, I know.
They are adorable.
Yeah, they are, but maybe not the most functional when it comes to stuff like this. But
so for this one, I was a little confused at first. They said a cube cake must be made of at least 25 smaller or individual cubes. And I thought they could go all Minecraft on this one. I didn't really. And
I know that, great reference.
I know that Paul said basically picture a Rubik's Cube. I didn't know if that was the required aesthetic or if they could have had like one that was like different sizes and stacked in different ways. As long as it was like comprised of cubes, I didn't realize at the kickoff that the cube that it had to have that three layers, that 3x3x3 aesthetic. And I also was like, wait a minute, like a Rubik's Cube is 27 individual cubes. And then I realized, wait, there's those two, the very center one and the one below it that you would never see as part of the cube cake.
Kurt,
and
that's why I thought so much about this.
I did. This is the nerd side of me in terms of like I've done the puzzles where I count the cubes in this structure, but you have to keep in mind that you can't see all the cubes. So like, how many are there? So the 25 versus 27 threw me until I realized, yeah, why would you bake one for the very center, which you're not going to see, and one at the right below it, which you're not going to see? And then that's the minimum of 25 also threw me in terms of, were they allowing people to put cakes there? Were they going to allow different sizes? But it seems like the requirement was a Rubik's Cube.
Mm. Math. I like this challenge. I don't think it was.
I did too.
Overly complicated. Like, I feel like Laura and Ermine almost were their own detriment. It's clear from Dave and Peter that it was possible to be very successful in this challenge, and I thought both those guys were very successful. I'm not really sure what happened with Ermine and Laura, besides that they overcomplicated things, or, you know, science just didn't work in Laura's favor, or what really happened. But I thought I liked this challenge. I thought it was cool. I thought Peter's was really striking. I thought his, I personally liked the idea of his flavors with the pistachio, chocolate, and raspberry. And I love the way that, he had the three different cakes and kind of, you know, one he'd have like a chocolate ganache or whatever it was.
The rotated forms. In the flavor.
Yeah. So you'd have a pistachio cake, you'd have a raspberry cake, you'd have a chocolate cake, and you kind of mix match. I thought that was really brilliant. Yeah. I thought it looked brilliant.
And his approach, again, was brilliant.
It was very smart. And I think he really deserved the Star Baker title this week.
Yeah. I agree.
I thought Dave's
begrudgingly.
I thought Dave's was pretty cool too.
Like a bunch of like large truffle, like
that's what they look
that
like.
Were stacked in. But yeah, it was it looked wonderful.
And Dave also made a biscuit so that he could stack it on. So they gave him extra points for that, and I thought that was brilliant too. Laura, poor Laura. She tried so hard. Do you think she should have gotten docked a little bit more for only having one flavor of cake?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I hate to like throw stones at stuff she's doing because she just gets so stressed out. And this was a very emotional like competition for her this week. I don't know, man.
But I feel like Ermine was so unsuccessful in both of hers that it was really hard for me to say that that wasn't the right move for her to get cut based on this week.
Right. And based on what went wrong with Laura's, I don't think that baking a second flavor of cake would have been an issue for her. It was largely the glaze.
Yeah.
And I think they thought her cake was the best tasting. Like, Paul was blown away by it almost.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't sure that the whole commentary about her memes with like, I don't really get much cherry, I'm eating more raspberry. And I don't know if that ended up also being part of it, was that it's not, you know, we see in Top Chef several times that's like, well, you describe it as this, but it's clearly not that. I wonder if that was at all knocked the points, but is Kirsch liqueur, that's cherry, right?
Cherry liqueur? I think so. Yeah.
Was surprised that the cherry didn't come through. It seemed like she really put a lot of cherry. But yeah, it was
not fun.
It looks too. It just didn't look good either.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at a picture of it right now on Google Images, and I'm like, oh no, no, no! Like, I wouldn't want to eat that. Like, which was there like, I hate that.
Was there sponge in hers? In their means, because it looked like it was just like a thing of mousse, loosely shaped into a cube.
Yeah, yeah, and it looks like it split, like, you know, all this stuff. Even though I just think it was just poorly constructed and honestly put together.
She had the Jocon sponge.
Yeah,
and it didn't really look like it was almost like just all made of mousse.
Yeah. Sad, but guys. I'm really sad.
So who are you rooting for next week? Tell me, like, where are you thinking here?
I've still been saying, even though my heart was rooting for Hermine, my winner pick was going to be Dave. So I'm just riding that train. So I don't hate the mech. I was glad, actually I was a little glad to see that we went back to Mexico with tequila.
It felt comfortable.
Yeah.
It felt
comfortable. Nice, Dave. And familiar.
I didn't get the whole commentary around. You've really grown a lot and you were struggling at first. I don't remember Dave struggling at first. I remember Dave seeming to do really well at first.
I feel like Dave's been really steady.
Yeah, yeah. He's been pretty, but, yeah.
Apart from Sura knocking over his technical. That.
Yeah.
I didn't, which makes me wonder, is this a little bit of revisionist history? Is like them trying to get us to think, oh yeah, you know what? Dave has really improved a lot. When I think he's just been steady throughout. Is that like pointing to like, not to like read too much into the edit. Is that a sign that he's going to do really well in the final, or at least there's going to be a strong case for him to win? I don't know.
So here's my prediction for next week. I'm rooting for Laura, but I bet you she's gone.
Yes.
Like
that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's so clear cut, it's so obvious, and then Peter and Dave are gonna, you know, square off, and Peter is technically flawless. He got a handshake this week that we didn't even talk about, like, you know,
he was
like,
so thrilled too,
and it was cute. Okay, I'll give him that. But it's pretty clear cut. There's a line in the sand, and he's gonna be the one that probably wins this whole thing. He's just, I mean, if we talk about consistency, Dave's been pretty steady, but Peter has just been like, you know, up. Yeah. Up
he's
and
been
up.
Steady, but
yeah,
but like climbing. Saying,
yeah, yeah.
Even the comment this week about, oh, we need to see the old Peter back. It's like the old Peter was just gone for 1 week. He's been.
Yeah.
Like you said, Haley, like he's been like an increase. He started out strong, and this has gotten even better.
Like a kid that's excelling with gluten-free grains, like, come on, he's going to be great. You know what I mean? Like I can make fun of like the small things here and there, but like when we actually look at him from like a purely technical standpoint, he's like 2 points off of perfection with most of the things he's been doing this entire season. So like, who am I to like hold him back? Like this kid's probably going to win the whole thing.
I wonder if, is there a statistic about out there about like the closer to the end of the series you get a Paul handshake, the more likely you are to win.
Good question. I don't know.
Although I was watching the episode with my mom, and she was like, they really shouldn't shake hands and then bake.
in this environment, no. Yeah. COVID.
She also asked me if they could ask those two annoying guys to leave them alone while they're baking, or if they have
to. Wow. Coming in with the hot takes. I love it. But yeah, that's my prediction. I think that's probably what's going to happen. Haley, you agree?
Kurt, yeah, totally.
Concur.
He concurs.
Well, I concur that Laura's good, but who did you pick between Dave and Peter?
I mean, do I just jump on the Peter train and say, yeah, it's going to happen?
I don't know. I really can't choose between Peter and Dave. Like, I think they're both pretty even going into this. Mm-hmm. I feel like Dave is probably going to be able to keep a bit of a cooler head, but Peter hasn't really shown that he gets shaken easily.
No.
Yeah. My gut says Peter's going to win.
Yeah.
My heart wants Laura to win. And but I'm just cheering for Dave because to me, he's like I don't think there's a chance for Laura to win. I hate to say that, but and like Dave is the like, Peter usurper in my mind, so maybe that's why I'm a little bit rooting for him.
Maybe I'll apply it to sort of this last season of Top Chef. It was sort of like the same way I felt about Melissa. It's Peter's to lose. Let me put it that way. Right. Because he's been that strong. And that's how I felt about Melissa and Top Chef. That's how I felt about other competitors in previous seasons of Great British Bake Off. And sometimes it actually does happen where you're like, this person's going to take it the whole way. No spoilers for you, Kurt, because I know you haven't watched a ton of them yet. But there have a few people where you're like, oh, yeah, totally going to nail it. Right. And they've choked at the end. So, like, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I think Peter's track record has been pretty successful, and he's really impressed the judges. He's done a really good job. Then again, I don't know, this whole week they were like, this is Ermine's to lose, right? Like, she's patisserie. We all know how great Ermine is at patisserie. Like, she's French trained, she's from France, like all of this stuff, like really loaded onto her. And then what do we see happen? So it's tough. I feel emotions.
It was tough on a rewatch, knowing that she's gone and seeing how much, like, they're like, this would be strange for you to lose. This is like, you know, Prue saying, like, this should be right up your alley. And, right. You know, it's like, oh, let's just stop.
I know. Don't say it. So.
But she was gracious. She's like, you know what? If this was the time, this was the time. She had no regrets. It is what it is.
Ermine forever.
We love you forever, Ermine.
We do.
Well, I guess that's it. Next week is the finale. I can't believe that it's been 10 weeks of us doing this.
Really? That's crazy.
I mean, like, right now it's 9, but it will be 10. Like, that, I feel like it's been 3.
That's wild. Yeah. It really doesn't feel that long.
While the final episode is simply called The Final, we have some, in the description, we have some hints as to what the challenges will be. Would you like me to read this?
Yes, please. Okay. And thank you.
The finalists pull out all the stops in a set custard signature, a chalky nut technical, and a magnificent dessert tower showstopper.
Of course.
Wait, can you go back to this chalky thing?
Chalky nut.
How is that spelled?
C-H-O-C-C-Y hyphen nut.
All right. I thought it was like chalky as in like C-H-A-L-K. Oh. And I was like, ew.
Good. I'm guessing it's a, what's a highly technical chocolate nut?
Like making your own Ferrero Rochers.
Oh my God. Ooh. Yeah, I could get behind that. I love a good Ferrero Rocher.
Oh my gosh, could I shotgun those?
And then watch it just be, they pull back the blanket. There's just like 3 jars of Nutella. Which I like, but it's no Ferrero Rocher.
No. No Ferrero Rocher. We used to buy little pallets of them for my grandmother every Christmas. She'd be like, oh, how did you know? We did it for like 10 years straight. Like, go to Costco, buy a big, big Ferrero Rocher box and just hand it to her. So good.
Ethan's parents always get us one. Mm. And we always fight over them because we both love Ferrero Rochers.
They're delicious.
Oh, so good.
Is the dessert tower pretty standard for a final?
Yeah, like something crazy like that is pretty.
Yeah. With a bust on top.
I like the idea of a dessert tower because I hope then we can get, because I feel like a lot of the final challenges, it's like one thing where I feel like with dessert tower, we can mix in the patisserie. We can mix in some like cakes. We can, you know, some biscuits and get a bunch of different things. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's got to be a 9-layer tower, each layer representing one of the previous weeks. The ice cream layer is just melting down all the other layers.
What a nightmare.
The 9 circles of hell are the 9 episodes of the previous series. Like,
yeah. Wow.
So, Kurt, what have you been making and or taking this week?
Definitely a lot of taking. I drove cross country this week. I had some great Mediterranean food. And This is all going to sound very contrasting. I had some great Mediterranean food in Flagstaff. Got some free hummus out of the deal because they accidentally gave me the wrong thing. and I think it was in in St. Louis, I had some amazing barbecue, but it was Korean barbecue. So had some good Korean food, some bibimbap, some spicy chicken, Korean chicken nachos. Very good, actually. And then what did I have in Oklahoma City? It was it was a mix of like that was my healthy night. That was a chicken salad. Yeah, it was fried chicken, but the salad had apples and like
that was your healthy night. Yeah, it was fried chicken.
there was bacon and Brussels sprouts. I had a purple cauliflower and butternut squash roast. A roast and so there were things were roasted and kind of put in basically a side of vegetables, but really good. And then the salad was like spinach and apple and candied pecans and goat's cheese and chicken.
All the things you like.
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah. And then I arrived, I moved to Michigan. I'm staying at my mom's place until my possessions arrive. And actually had a HelloFresh box delivered yesterday. And
so, ooh, nice. Nice.
So we're probably, I think my mom is going to be making either the traditional Clark beans and ground beef for dinner one of these nights, but I've got a few different things like some mushu pork bowl, a buttery couscous and herb chicken dish, and then these like chicken pot pies.
Nice.
So
you're not going to be freeloading off of your mom's cooking too much. You're like, no, I'll arrange for a box.
I would not survive.
Oh, really?
not in terms of quality, but in terms of she does not cook a lot.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Emily, what have you been making?
Well, guys.
Ooh, I feel a story coming.
I found the best duck eggs. I am here to prematurely call myself a spokesperson for them because they are that good. They are from a company called Utopia Hen.
Okay, yeah.
And from what I can tell, they are distributing both chicken eggs and duck eggs. But I bought a dozen of these duck eggs because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to lean right into this. I'm really going to do it. They're some of the most beautiful yolks that I've ever encountered from a grocery store. And they seem relatively new from what I've found in terms of their social media presence. But I decided to make eclairs. And let me tell you, a lot of components, a lot of moving parts. I've never made a choux pastry before, so that was really new. And I used like piping bags and the whole shebang. I made a pastry cream with duck eggs. I made a ganache to put over the top of them. It was a lot of fun.
How were your finger donuts?
They were delicious. To the point where like I couldn't give them away fast enough. Like Josh and I kept being like, so we're going to eat another one of these. And it was like really bad.
So you're not allergic to duck eggs. It's just chicken eggs.
No. And that was the thing.
I don't think I connect this.
Well, I didn't really either until about a year and a half ago. So we had always had a theory that Josh's dad kind of put together in his own sort of scientific brain where he was like, they're the most evolutionarily different from chickens. Think about it. They have bills. They have webbed feet. They're waterfowl. Go and buy some duck eggs and just give it a shot. And then I have a really good friend who I used to work with whose brother has an egg intolerance as well. And he regularly substitutes duck eggs into a lot of the things he makes, and he's fine. So I was like, okay, that's probably enough evidence. But I've been very nervous about it because it's like, if I'm able to eat eggs that are not chicken eggs, but duck eggs, who am I as a person? Mm-hmm. It's a real identity crisis for me that I've kind of played around with for a little while now. But guess what? I've been home for like, 9-10 months now? It's time to get into the duck eggs. So I actually bought the Tartine bakery book. So I've had the bread book. That's where I've learned all of my sourdough technique. But I decided to kind of jump to the next level and look at a lot of their patisserie and baking since everybody loses their mind over that stuff. And I figured more or less, why not have that be my textbook for any sort of duck, egg, or eggy pastry adjacent stuff. So I made a chocolate chess pie last night.
Ooh.
Have never had that before. Cut some slices of that this morning. It's delicious. It is ridiculous. I need to get rid of that one fast too, because Josh is probably eating some of it in the kitchen right now. But yeah,
I love this journey for you. I'm so excited.
It's a weird journey.
It reminds me of, I went to a friend's, one of my you know, best friends from college. He and his wife, we would host a big Halloween party at their home in North Carolina every year. Mm-hmm. I'd go to it, and I met one of their friends, and we just like he came in from out of town too. We just hit it off right away. And then he was talking about how his entire life he had been lactose, basically heavily lactose intolerant, could not eat anything dairy. And he just had gotten done with it. Right before he flew out, he got his results back from a food allergy test, because there was a bunch of other stuff that he wasn't quite sure on. It was like, yeah, you're allergic to shellfish, you're allergic mm-hmm. to bananas, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and dairy. He's like, no, your dairy's fine for you.
Yeah.
So it's just gone away. And this was, and my friend's wife was big about like cooking. And so I had the joy of like guiding him through the buffet table mm-hmm. of snacks. Say, okay, you've never had cream cheese before.
Yeah.
You have to try this.
Time to do it.
And
yeah.
He had ice cream for the first time, and it was guiding somebody through that open door of food experience.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. So I'm so mm-hmm. excited for you. Like,
thank you.
Do you have to cook differently with the duck eggs, or is it just?
If anything, it's a little bit larger of a yolk versus the white. And there's more of a fat content to it. So I think what probably will end up happening is that I can be a little more reserved with how many duck eggs I add to something versus like if a recipe calls for 3 chicken eggs, I can probably put 2 duck eggs in and be fine. That being said, it probably depends on what I'm making. But yeah, it's weird. And it's flavors and richness that I haven't had in so long. Because as a kid, I would kind of do stuff like this a little bit here and there, because my intolerance wasn't terrible. It wasn't like full force yet. But I never really had a lot of this stuff because my mom has it. So she wouldn't, it's not like we would like hit up a bakery and be like, come on, let's like get like a small box of pastries. It just didn't happen. So yeah.
Are you bringing your mom along on this journey?
I'm trying to, and she's so nervous. And I'm like, it's worth it. Let me tell you. So hopefully when we see them, we're trying to see if we can see them in December. But, you know, infection rates being what they are, we'll see what happens. But I'm like, yeah, I'm like, so for this week for Thanksgiving, I'm like, yeah, I'm making a pecan pie. I've never had a pecan pie before. Guess what? We're going to do that. So we'll see. Awesome. It's really exciting. It's scary. Yeah.
Now I'm like going like, okay, let's get her some ostrich eggs. Let's get her some quail eggs. I want to test.
An ostrich egg? Like, what am I going to do with that? That's a horrifying idea. That's like a quiche.
17 chicken eggs or one ostrich egg.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to think that probably I'm all right, but I think it's an enzyme thing. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's been a really fun project that Josh is benefiting from greatly. We both keep looking at each other and being like, this is a game changer. This is scary. Like, now I can make anything. And that is like frightening.
Imagine like duck eggs plus post COVID. Like, in terms of like all the shackles are off.
I know. I'm just going to be like throwing pies into the street and dancing around. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a wild time. But yeah, that's where I'm at. Haley, let's take it to you.
I'm boring. I made some sheet pan chicken fajitas this week, which were tasty.
That sounds really good right now.
That sounds so good.
I feel like we just went grocery shopping. I guess it was 2 weeks now, but like this whole week, I felt like we've had nothing in the fridge, which is just not true. We got sushi takeout on Friday night. I got shrimp tempura rolls and spicy crab rolls, and they were delicious.
Those sound right up my
alley. So good.
I think you and I, we've talked about our similarities in food tastes. I think we would go for the same things at a sushi bar.
Yeah. I love anything with seafood in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethan doesn't eat seafood, so I really take those opportunities when we eat out to get stuff with shrimp in it or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I don't cook with it much because he won't eat it. So that's about it. Like, I really haven't, I don't even think I've made anything that exciting. Lunch this week, I tried to pull out some freezer pot stickers, and they were really bad. And so I threw them out and I ate some carrots and ranch instead.
I love it.
I did make a box of devil's food cake earlier this week too, because I just wanted some dessert in the house.
Yeah, okay? Man. I hear you.
And instead of using milk or water, I used a cup of coconut, or not coconut milk, a cup of almond milk and a third of a cup of chocolate milk. I don't know if it really improved it or not, but they were tasty. I enjoyed them.
I did stop at Trader Joe's to pick up road snacks for my road trip. And like Trader Joe's has the best, like white chocolate peppermint covered pretzels, garlic naan crackers.
I miss Ulta and I miss Trader Joe's a lot.
They have this seasonal blue cheese pecan spread.
Ooh.
Which I didn't bring on the road with me, but I got it the night before I had it. Like I ate that the night before I headed out. I was going through like what are like the things in my cupboards I need to make before I leave, just thinking about my cupboards or so what am I just gonna throw away. And I had this mac and cheese that wasn't like Kraft, it was like some like organic version. And I didn't have milk, but I had almond milk and vanilla almond milk. And I'm like, so I put in a lot more of like the Kerrygold butter than I normally mm-hmm. would. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'll put a little splash of the vanilla almond milk in there. It was a little strange, but not really.
I don't know if I'd do that. I don't think I could bring myself to do
Josh,
that one.
Josh has a story about going on a bachelor party like weekend trip with a bunch of different dudes that he knew from like camp or something like that, and they all decided to marinate chicken in those flavored trash bags. Like it was like a lavender scented trash bag. Oh. Where they were like, no, we'll just use the bags that are here, and Josh was like, but they have a scent. And they were like, it's going to be fine. And Josh was like, all of us took like one bite of the chicken and we're like, this is horrifying. Like, we're not eating this. Haley likes so that. Upset.
I hate scented garbage bags.
Me too.
They make me want to puke.
Who wants to smell the garbage, period?
I don't hate scented garbage bags in theory.
Underreported.
But when they... They don't mask the odor of the garbage.
No, they don't.
You get like floral, you know, thrown away salmon juice or whatever.
Right, yeah. Stop. I'm going to puke. I am going to throw up.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. On that note, should we leave?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a good sign that we should go home now. Go lay in bed. We're already home.
Should we go back to bed?
I think that's probably a good idea. It's snowing here, and I think that's snowing.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. It's turned to rain now, so that's not fun for anyone.
It's just overcast. Overcast.
Yeah, it's very overcast here.
This is my first time podcasting with you guys at 11.
I know. Like, should we make this earlier?
I didn't know, Emily, if you were covering doing something for post show recaps right beforehand with your Pet 15.
No, that's done. It's done. Just you guys. You guys and a few movie podcasts with the husband.
Do you not like the movie Clue, Emily?
It's fine. I didn't grow up watching it. So like,
I didn't either, but now I love it.
No, it's great. I've watched it once and I was like, okay, but I like needed a break last week.
That's fair.
Yeah, but Josh threw me under the bus and Kurt's very upset now. So like, now I really gotta go.
Well, because I did, what's it called when I like a self-promotion or whatever? I was on New Girl Old Guy this week. And Ollie was like, Emily wasn't there to talk about Clue with me. And I was like, no, that's all I ever wanted.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, Josh kept giving me outs where he was like, I feel like you're not going to be fun on this. And I was like, all right, fine. So I hate to disappoint, but sometimes I just needed a break this week. Like everything in our apartment leaked at some point. So I was like, you know what? I'm not having a great time.
Yeah.
Gotta go. So anyway, love to everybody. Don't be mad at me about Clue, please.
We won't. Okay. But I do need you and Allie on a podcast at some point soon.
It will happen. It will definitely happen.
So like I said, I was on New Girl Old Guy this week. What a joy that was. And if you're not listening to that podcast, like, what are you doing? Like, seriously. What else? Bachelor coverage, of course. Mm-hmm. That's going. And I think that's it. I feel like I've done a lot of podcasts this week, but I think it's just the usual stuff.
Love it. Love it.
Kurt?
Not really doing much right now. I'm at Kurt Clark with two C's on the Twits and the Instas. I'm just waiting for my possessions to arrive so I can move into my apartment.
Fair enough. I am at Emlet, like an omelet, but with an E. Although
you add a little duck emoji to the end of the
I month? Know, I need to now. It's so crazy. But yeah, I'm podcasting with Josh through the Patreon feed about movies every week, which has been super fun. Sorry I wasn't there for Clue.
Oh, I did that podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Haley was on it. That was great. But yeah, this coming week, we're going to be doing a podcast about the movie Airplane, which I have never seen. So I'm really excited
not bring it on for some reason.
Yeah, so I'm going to be, I know, I'm upset about it. Josh didn't even know what the clue was. He was wait, I don't know what this movie is. And I was like, it's Bring It On. It's a big deal. Like, how do you not know it? Your clues were so good.
I thought so too.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to be doing Airplane. We're podcasting with one of my very best friends of all time from home, Lee McLaren, who joined us on the Pen 15 podcast. Her boyfriend, Eric, will be joining us for the first time. This was his pick. So I'm really excited to see how that is. It's like a double date. It'll be really fun. But yeah, check it out.
You can follow me on Twitter. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Kurt. Go ahead.
I said surely you would have a good time. I was making Airplane. Go ahead.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @strong_. Check out everything else going on in the RHAP universe. There's a lot. So, you know, keep on keeping on. We love you. Hope you love us.
If you don't, we don't want to know.
Yeah, please don't tell us. We're very soft.
Yeah,
you can tell me. Put all the hate towards me. I'm
oh my God. Kurt, you're just as soft as the rest of us. Don't pretend like you'd take criticism like that.
Oh, no. I just like it. I block quickly.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
I take it all in and personalize it. Anyway, pack your stand mixers and go. Bye. Love you.
Bye.